From a distance, the world looks blue and green, and the snow-capped mountains white. From a distance, the ocean meets the stream, and the eagle takes to flight. It's the voice of every man. From a distance, we all have enough, and no one is in need. And there are no guns, no bombs, and no
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth, and I am absolutely thrilled to have in studio with us somebody I have admired for a long, long time, and he has recently had a great thing happen to him, and so we can't wait to share it with our listeners. We want to welcome to KDWA Deacon Rod Walker.
Hi.
Great to see you.
Good to see you, Mo.
So first of all, welcome. Tell us a little bit about yourself, because you certainly are somebody that many, many people know in the community.
Yeah, so I've been in the community of Hastings since May of 1997. Annette, my wife, and our two young boys moved here. We were kind of looking for a change. We were in suburbia. We were in Bloomington, and Annette and I both grew up in Austin, Minnesota. And so we were kind of like, you know what? It'd be nice to raise our boys in a town like Austin. But we both worked in the metro area, so. Literally, we were out for a drive one day, and we kind of cut through Hastings, just kind of somewhat accidentally, I would say.
Are you kidding? That's how you knew about Hastings?
Yeah, actually, it is. We came off that Highway 55, and we went somewhere over by Pioneer Park. We just said, hey, let's cut through town.
Did you have the boys with you?
Yeah, I think they were, and I'll tell you a little story about that, too. So, anyway, we were driving through town, and we noticed something when we were driving on the city streets. It was a spring day. Nice spring day, and we were like, all these people walking. Look at all these people walking. And we just didn't see that in Bloomington, and we're like, do they have some event going on here? No, it turns out it was just people out actually enjoying the nice day.
I think we do have a lot of people that hit the sidewalks more than other communities.
Yeah, I mean, it was noticeable to us. And then so actually we were heading down. This was my thought. I thought, oh, we'll get a nice little place out in the country. And so we were heading down somewhere south of Hastings is where we were trying to go. So the story about the boys then, so they would have been maybe Alex was maybe 7 and Andrew was maybe 4, and they're in the back seat of the car, and we'd been looking probably most of the day. Well, they had reached the point where they were no longer behaving. There's a particular spot on Highway 4, on County Road 47, south of Hastings, where I'd had enough. And so I pulled over and I said, you guys either knock it off or you're going to have to get out.
Somebody opened the door.
No. Yeah, so they didn't knock it off. So I proceeded to get out, opened the back door, and said, get out. And so they both got out. Because they had the fear of God in their look in their eye. So anyway, I drove about 5 feet ahead, and they started crying. And perfect. All right, get back in the car. And so we, as for years, have driven by that spot, and we talk about that and laugh about that
spot. What a great story. So you did come in 1997, and I know that you were an active member at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Church.
Correct.
In Hastings.
Yep.
So
yep.
In 97, the church would have been very new.
Relatively.
3 years old, I think,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, pretty new, yep. And then when I got here, I was like, well, you know, I should get involved somehow. And we were here for a while. The president of the parish council, I think, just knew I was new and talked to me one day. And he said, you know, we're looking for some people to get involved with the building committee because we're going to do like phase two. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I could maybe do that. So then, you know, a little time passes. And then that fall, I started getting involved with that and then carried that through till 2006 when we ended up with the addition that's there now. And so I was on that facility expansion committee, and then it became the building committee and things like that. So yeah, I was pretty involved with that.
And you and your family, I know, have been very involved. I'll go on record as saying Andrew Walker, your son, I watched him grow up through the Seas Church.
Yep.
And my favorite memory of Andrew as a little boy was the living stations of, you know where this is going, when he had the starring role of Jesus.
Yeah.
And I remember he was on a, and I kind of knew Andrew anyway.
Yeah.
He was at a milk crate, and at the very, you know, at the crucifixion, it was very sad, of course.
Yeah.
I got the giggles because somebody kicked the milk crate away.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So that's one of my favorite memories. And then he went on to just become this fabulous musician and really was such an integral part of C's music for so long.
Yeah,
so
he was. Yeah,
yeah, just a great family. And I know you have a new grandson.
New grandson, Thomas.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
Congratulations.
He's 9 months old now.
Oh, what a joy.
Yeah.
And your dear wife, Annette.
Yeah.
So this has been a wonderful thing for people that are not in the Catholic faith. What actually is a deacon?
Sure, yeah. So a deacon is an ordained minister of the church.
But certainly you're married and have a family.
Yep. And so let me, you know what, I think I'll take it back to where the deacons originally come from.
Okay.
That's probably a good place to go back to. So deacons are very scriptural. In Acts chapter 6 is where deacons first appear. The short version of the story is the apostles were getting awfully busy. There was some argument between the early Christians, those of the Jewish faith who had become Christian, and those of the Greek Jewish faith who had become Christian. They weren't necessarily getting along. Go figure, you know, people sometimes just don't get along. Anyway, the Hellenist group, the Greeks, thought they were getting the short end of the stick. And so in Acts chapter 6, you can read through that. And the apostles basically come together and say, you know what, we need some help here. We need somebody that can go out and actually minister to, especially to the Greek-speaking Jewish folks that are Christians. And so there's an ordination that takes place with, I believe it's seven, I think. Seven men are picked from the community to then become this role of deacon. And they are ordained laying on of hands as a priest is, as a deacon, as a priest, as a bishop. Ordination is ordination. There's different sort of levels of ordination, if you will. But level isn't the right word. There's different charisms of ordination. And so a deacon is ordained to be minister of the word, minister of the table or the altar, and then most importantly, minister of charity. And so that's our threefold ministry as a deacon.
So when you were younger, growing up, you were an altar server, I would assume?
No, I was not.
Oh, my gosh, okay.
Yep, I was a Presbyterian.
Oh.
So for all you Presbyterians out there, hello.
I love this story.
Yeah, yeah. So what happened there was Annette and I met in high school, actually. And so in Austin, the Catholic high school is kitty corner from the public high school. We didn't actually meet at school. We met at our jobs. We worked.
Is it Pacelli?
Pacelli High School. Yep, it is. We worked at the local Super Value store. Had a little conversation next to a end display of festival vegetables. I remember. I remember the moment.
Oh.
And she was going to have a little gathering at her house and invited me to go to that. And then that's just kind of where things went from there. But as I started dating her, I would spend some time over at the Catholic high school. And I just found it wasn't the most welcoming place for a guy that wasn't Catholic.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So the boys had their turf over there. And it's like they didn't like any competition coming over there. But we worked through that over time.
So what drew you to the Catholic faith initially?
Annette. Mm-hmm. It was pretty obvious. Her family, very devoted Catholic family. And even in high school when we started dating, it was really obvious that that was going to be something very important to Annette. And, you know, it was like over time, I would start going to Mass with her on the weekends and with her family. And as Annette went off to college and we would, she went to Stout and I'd go over there and visit her. We would go to Mass and it was like, okay, yep, this is her thing. You know, it's going to be her thing and that's a good thing. And so when it came time that we decided to get married, it was just kind of this natural evolution of, yeah, okay, you know, I'll become Catholic and then we'll have one faith here instead of working through two. And so I'm just trying to simplify life, I guess, maybe is a good way to look at that at the time. But as it turns out, it's been a great gift for me over the last almost 40 years, I guess, mm-hmm. now. So
tell us about your formation process, but before then, tell us about your actual calling to become a deacon.
Sure. I was kind of always involved, not because of my own doing, because of my wife's doing. When we first got married, we built a little house in Prior Lake, and so we went to St. Michael's in Prior Lake. And I think we'd been going there about a year or so. The pastor came up to us after one Mass and said, hey, I'm looking for a young couple to run this program. And I think even before he finished saying it, Annette said, yeah, we'll do that. So anyway, I was like, we left church and I was like, what did you just do? So as it turns out, we became the Renew Program Coordinators, sure. which was small faith sharing groups, which was way, 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 way out of my comfort zone at the time. But, you know, I started going to the meetings, the organizational meetings, and then actually to go to a small faith-sharing group like that was very difficult for me. I just wasn't, that isn't who I was growing up as a Presbyterian or, you know, it could be Lutheran, could be Methodist. It just wasn't what I was, right?
There's probably a lot of Catholics that it's not for them, too.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a very...
intimate. And
it's an intimate thing, and you're going to share personal things sometimes, and you're not familiar with the people you're going to be doing that with. It was just counter to my, and my Myers-Briggs would say that I am an introvert, and people can't believe that when they meet me, but I am an introvert. I like to be kind of introspective and in my own little space, and so that put me outside of that, you know, huge. But over time, I was like, okay, I'm starting to see God's grace in a way that I had never seen before, working through either me or through the people in the groups. And I'm like, there's something happening here. I couldn't put my finger on it, but I'm like, there's something that happens here.
What is the Renew program for people that don't know what that is?
Well, it was a program basically just set up just to encourage people to get together and to talk about their faith. And I don't remember the exact format. It was a long time ago, but I think it was probably read some scripture and then talk about it and then talk about how that relates to your life. And so the Renew program was, at least in our parish, we met in homes. So we would kind of rotate through that group. And that became a model then that Annette and I were involved with, not officially titled Renew, but a lot of different similar programs over the years. I really found that to be very rewarding when you're in someone's home and there's just a whole different feel about that meeting versus being in a conference room at the church. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do know what you mean. And is it a sense of safeness or what is it? It's a beautiful feeling. I agree with you.
I think it's the reality of that God's model is domestic church and then the big church, and then the big, you know, it just kind of works its way up. And so then you're in God's domestic church, which is that family's church. You're in their church and their space, and they're sharing that space with you and loving you in their space. And that's been the model since the early church, was people meeting in that small family domestic church and then talking about their faith and talking about their struggles and talking about their worries and talking about these things. Certainly as I've grown older, I see that our society has changed where talking isn't really a thing anymore. You know, there's a lot of thumb talking, and that's not the same thing, you know, at all, not at all. So anyway, that God has that model. That program really helped bring that particular model out, I think, for a lot of people.
As you grew deeper in your faith, what were your parents, what was their reaction? Because certainly I'm sure they were proud of you and they loved you. But was that hard for them to see you change religions?
You know, I never sensed, even like when I first, I don't remember the day I told them, you know, exactly, but they were supportive of it. There was never any, like, this is going to be a problem kind of thing. I think by that time, you know, Annette and I, we had dated for 5 years, and so they knew Annette well. They knew what that deal was all about. And so there was no shock there. You know, so anyway, it was kind of just a natural evolution. And then my parents, when they would visit, if they were here on the weekend and we were going to Mass, most often they would go to Mass with us. So, yeah, they were very open to that, I think. And then, over time, so there's in my family, there were four boys and a girl. And so two of my brothers later in life became Catholics themselves, married Catholic women and became Catholic also.
Do you think you would have searched for a different faith had you not met Annette?
Absolutely not. I guarantee it. We've talked about that before, and my life would be very, very, very different. So I thank God for that, for Annette's presence in my life. It's almost like she was destined to get me to this point of being a deacon, to be honest with you. And that started at 16 years old. And here we are, I'm almost 60.
You're seeing that in your own life, but wouldn't it be great if people could really see God's hand along the way in their life?
Yeah, and you know, I certainly didn't see it at the time, almost never see it at the time. I would say rarely do I see it at the time, because sometimes that path is difficult and hurts, and we get sort of buried in our hurt, buried in our self-despair sometimes. And so we just go, I don't know where this is going. I don't like it. I'll share with you, I've had two job unplanned job changes in my life, which I never dreamed in a million years I'd have one. And then I ended up with two. And those were very, very painful times. And, you know, I really, especially on the first one, kids are just starting to go to college. You know, my financial little mechanism on my head was trying to plan ahead, you know, and saved. But it was like, okay, this is going to be tight. And then all of a sudden, boom, dad has no income, zero. Now we're in trouble. And so easy, very easy to get angry about that. And I'm sure I was I know I was for quite a while. Angry with the people where that came from. And then also angry with God. It's like, why would you do this? This is bad timing. God, you know, I need income here. But then, you know, people say it, but it's true. I do believe that if you're patient with God, he comes up with plan B, and oftentimes that's much, much better. And in this case, that was much, much better. I mean, just my ability to expand my sort of knowledge of my industry. I'm an IT guy, IT management particularly. And so that sent me to another job for 10 years, and then it happened, which I never thought it would happen again. And then it happened again. They downsized, which is very common these days, and that happened to me in 2015. But this time I was a little more spiritually prepared for it, I would say. But then I also at that same time had a pretty bad motorcycle accident. So it got very complicated.
But God's plan is always, there are pieces along the way that fit together at the end of our life that we don't understand.
Right.
Yes. We're going to take a little break. We are chatting with Deacon Rod Walker, and we are going to come back and continue with our story. You're listening to AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.
From a distance, the world looks blue and green, and the snow-capped mountains white. From a distance, the ocean meets the stream, and the eagle takes to flight. From a distance, there is harmony, and it echoes. It's the voice of hope. It's the voice of peace. It's the